You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers. As always, I am one of the hosts of this show, Tony East, covering the Pacers for Forbes and the West Indianapolis Community News and this podcast and the Fieldhouse. And today, we're previewing a game against the title favorite Milwaukee Bucks and talking about some Oladipo injury stuff, because that's always bad news when that pops up. It's kind of a frightening episode, right? The Bucks are frightening. Oladipo injuries are frightening. But it's important. The Pacers have got off to a good start on their road trip. They're going to try to keep some momentum tonight. But it's going to be hard. The Bucks are incredible. They have this amazing player averaging 15 points, 7 rebounds, and 3 assists. Just kidding. That is half of Giannis' stats, which is just insane to think about. In 31 minutes per game, this dude is averaging 30, 14, and 6. Are you kidding me? His per 36s are 34.5, 16, and 7. So when he plays more minutes, I mean, it doesn't really matter. He can do amazing things. He's ridiculous. Their defense with him on the floor, ridiculous. Their offense with him on the floor, ridiculous. I could go on and on and on about how good this guy is, and that's why this game's going to be incredibly tough for the Pacers. The last time that they played against Giannis was in Banker's life. The Pacers scored 89 points, gave up 117. The Bucks with Giannis on the floor outscored the Pacers by 29. They won the game by 28. You do the math. They actually outscored the Bucks with Giannis on the bench. So that's just how the Bucks are. They just dominate with their starting five, surrounded by this guy. And I don't know what the Pacers' answer is for him. To be fair, no team has an answer for him. That's not a criticism of the Pacers that they don't have an answer for him. Nobody does. Thad Young is the best answer they've ever had last year. Giannis admittedly saying, Thad Young's one of the best defenders of me. And then in the other two matchups after that game, Giannis still torn apart, and the Bucks won both times. So there is no good formula to beat him. The formula to beating the Bucks is trying to catch them by scoring a ton of points. That's what the Pacers were able to do when they won in Banker's life. No, you remember, Giannis did not play. So the Bucks' offense, even without Giannis, is actually decent, because Chris Middleton is just having the world's most ridiculous season for a second level guy ever, and then they also get a ton of good stuff from like Bledsoe, Brook Lopez, stuff like that. So they're still really good with him on the bench. They were able to score an 11, but the Pacers were able to crack their defensive code a little bit, especially without Giannis. Warren was the main benefactor there, right? They will let you into the mid-range and cut off the paint, and then leave the corners open. Well, I guess where TJ Warren likes to shoot, so he really carved them up. But with Giannis back, a lot of those holes will be plugged, which will make this game a lot harder. So I think the plan for Giannis, right, I don't want to harp on him too much, but he's a lot of what the Bucks do before we talk a little more granular on another segment here. A little bit of what I think the strategy is, right? His shot is from the outside is clearly better. He's over 30% from three, which is just unfair. That's almost the point per possession if you totally cut him off. And that's on all threes, not I bet his wide open threes are better than that. So you can't just totally sag off. You have to kind of get up on him. But I say all that to say, you can't just put your rim protector, Miles, in this case, on him and say, come at me. Well, first of all, Miles struggles with that kind of strength with lesser guys. So that would be a mismatch. The guy they normally have defending for is Justin Holiday. Definitely not strong enough. I mean, he struggles with levels of strength far below that. And he's a better perimeter guy than Giannis, who will plow through. I mean, Giannis is a perimeter guy, but he'll plow through to the paint anyway. And those are really their only four or five defenders that aren't Domas. And I think strength is the best way to try to slow him down. Not that you're actually slowing him down. You're just kind of making things take more time between his point A and point B, which still that can help you a little bit with your defensive recoveries elsewhere, getting help over to him. So I think, in theory, that's the quote-unquote best way to slow him down, is Domas really gets into him and does his absolute best. The problem with that is it's going to be a lot of fouls for Domas, and he's already the most foul-prone Pacer. When they played, even without Giannis, he had 5 fouls in Banker's life in that win, and he still played really well that game, but five fouls is a lot. Giannis is the master of drawing them. I believe he leads the league in fouls drawn. So that's the Pacers' best hope of slowing him specifically down, but it's still not going to be enough. What they're really going to have to do when Giannis is out there is, you know, whoever he's on is out of the game. It's probably going to be Warren, especially because Warren just totally destroyed the Bucks last time they played. So that player either has to just be go spot up in the corner, keep Giannis as far away from the play as possible, and if he does spot up in the corner, he has to make all his shots, or that player has to just move the ball right away, keep the defense Bucks moving, the Bucks defense moving, and keep the ball away from Giannis's area. And the players he does pass to have to be hitting. Brogdon's going to have to be splashing in his triples. Oladipo, if he does play, is going to have to be splashing in his triples. Turner, who's been playing fantastic recently, is going to have to splash in his triples. That's just to win the Giannis minutes. You know, the non-Giannis minutes will be filled a lot by Middleton, and they have good bench players. And I'll talk about their whole team in a minute. But that's how you win the Giannis minutes. They can't win the Giannis minutes. That's how you keep up as much as possible in the Giannis minutes is you slow him down, not stop him. You slow down the things he wants to do as much as you possibly can, and then you keep the ball. This is the Giannis mitigation system as a team on offense, right? Keeping like the Pacers are kind of well equipped in a way because they share the ball so equitably already. They have a bunch of guys who can do good things on any given possession. It's actually a good thing in this situation when they're trying to keep the ball away from a specific guy. But they're really going to have to be making their threes. Sabonis, they're going to let him shoot that 18-footer when he picks and short rolls. He's going to have to hit that every time. You know, they got to stretch out guys as far as possible because Middleton is a really good defender. Lopez is going to be an all-NBA second or first-team defender this year. Bledsoe was all-NBA first-team last year. They're just a ridiculously good defensive team. So you got to keep the ball moving and hit those shots. And that'll help slow the game down too, which with the Bucks in transition are deadly. So that's just the Giannis minutes. They got to win the non-Giannis, and they got to win the bench minutes. So let's look at the rest of the matchups that could dictate this game. So without Giannis, the Pacers actually conceded a lot of their lead in Banker's life when they won. In the second unit minutes, the Bucks have gotten a lot from Marvin Williams since he joined the team. Dante DiVincenzo has been one of the higher impact players in the entire league. Sterling Brown's a pretty versatile wing for them. So is Pat Connaughton. He's less versatile, but more just has tools to make stuff happen. And then Kyle Korver, who I think is going to be out, but he can shoot really well. And they'll have Ilyasova if they need him. They just have a lot of capable guys in their second unit. But none of them, since maybe Pat Connaughton, are super fast. And George Hill, I did not name. He did not play that game in Indy either. But he also not super fast. So what the Pacers need to do to win so straight up bench minutes, no Giannis. Middleton might be in with a lot of those groups. There'll be a few minutes without both guys. They have to run. They have McConnell specifically, I'm looking at to have a big game if they're going to keep up in these minutes. Or catch up in these minutes, excuse me. He has to be penetrating, pushing really hard. You know, he is the master of when a transition possession starts, he really quickly scans around him. Okay, do we have a numbers advantage? Where are my guys? Should I push right now? And then the second he realizes he should, he'll just even if he's covered by a guy and won't be able to create anything for himself imminently, he'll just drive hard into the paint because then other guys have to look at the ball, see that they need to help. All of a sudden, you got a mismatch somewhere. That has to happen a lot in this game because they're just going to need to be able to create advantages any way they can. McConnell was okay, I guess. Last time these guys played, he only played 12 minutes, but kept the ball moving, got Jeremy Lamb involved. Jeremy Lamb was pretty good. That's going to be a big loss. When they did terribly in Milwaukee in their home loss earlier this season, he had 14 minutes, 2-for-7 shooting, 4 assists, 2 turnovers. Has to be better than that because that will, you know, first of all, I think he's the guy who sets that bench in motion. He has to be setting that group alive because they have to be good. That bench unit has been one of the Pacers' best things this season, not of late, but over the course of the season. If they can recapture some momentum with the way the Stars are playing, that could keep the Pacers in the game. And, of course, it's just nice to be able to win the bench minutes. And they need him to be better than he has been against the Bucks this year. He has to really push the pace. The rest of the guys, you know, McDermott on the road here should be helpful. He just is cash when they're not playing in Banker's life for some reason, which makes absolutely no sense. That has to happen too. They have really good wing defenders, like I said, Sterling Brown, Connaughton, Marvin Williams a little bit, but he's most likely not going to be defending the wing. And then their starters are all great wing defenders, so McDermott has to wiggle free off of screens or whatever, and McConnell, Aaron Holiday have to be good. Those are going to be challenging minutes. The Bucks have a good bench, a good second unit. They use it all the time, right? It plays a ton of minutes in fourth quarters because they barely have to play their starters, so that unit's really cohesive. They really play well together. The Pacers are going to have to find a way to beat it, and I think that starts with McConnell, but all the guys have to do well. And really, they have to do well on defense, right? Because Connaughton, capable scorer. George Hill, ridiculous from three this season. He was 3-for-6 when the Bucks won in Banker's Life. Robin Lopez, even an okay guy inside. He had 13 points in that game. So they just have a lot of weapons, and they're capable of creating just enough offense with that group, but they'll usually have one starter with them to create all the shots, and that's where I get to the big mismatch, and that's Chris Middleton, because the Pacers will try to sell it to stop Giannis. They do often do a lot to try to stop these stars, right? They'll try their best to keep Giannis in front of them, but they'll have to send extra guys. That's how it works. And Middleton, even in non-Giannis-less minutes, but Middleton has just been ridiculous this year. All the time, all the way through, no matter who he's playing with. 25 points, 7.5 rebounds, 5 assists per 36 for Middleton per game. That's a lot less. He plays under 30 minutes. And yeah, you can't keep your same production up for 6 extra minutes, but still close to it. And that's on 50% shooting from the field, 43% from deep. I mean, I've talked about him being 50-40-90 on this show before. He's ridiculous, and he is literally like open all the time because of Giannis. That's not exclusively why he's having such a good season. Because again, in the non-Giannis-less minutes, his stats are also ridiculous. But it certainly helps. So something big is going to have to be these rotations. You know, that was something that befell the Pacers early in the Spurs game. Is DeRozan would get in the paint, they couldn't rotate out quick enough. All of a sudden, bang! Spurs hit a three. They have to be quick about getting out on these guys when Giannis does give up the ball, especially with Middleton, who's just killing it from everywhere this year. It's going to be imperative. I'm guessing one of Depot and Warren will be on him, recovers and stays with him the whole time. And then the other guys, the guys who just like not casually play, but they're more ancillary, right? Brook Lopez, he's just going to spot up. Miles has to keep an eye on where he is at all times. DiVincenzo, Eric Bledsoe, these guys can all slash and hit shots, and they play big enough minutes. They just have to rotate onto them quickly when they get the ball. They're going to have to be playing one of their sharpest defensive games the Pacers are to win this game. But really, it's just such an uphill battle, right? They have to basically keep the Giannis minutes within 10 and then have their bench play the game of their life. And they have to shoot really well from three along the way to even do those things. So there's a lot that the Pacers have to do. The Bucks are really good. There's a reason they've only lost, 9 games this entire season. I believe they're still on pace for 70 on-the-nose wins. And why wouldn't you push for that? You've played 61 games and you've only lost 9. That's just crazy. The Pacers lost 7 games since Victor Oladipo came back. So winning a lot of those matchups is going to be hard. Winning the bench minutes is going to be hard, and that's why I think the Pacers' winning streak ends in this game, and they can try to recover against a struggling Bulls team. So good luck to the Pacers in this game. They will need it. The Bucks are ridiculously good, and they look like the team that's going to go to the finals from the Eastern Conference. Speaking of, Victor Oladipo on the injury report, questionable, sore knee. Scary words. Let's talk about some Vic injury stuff. So yes, hearing Victor Oladipo, questionable, sore knee, scary, especially coming 2 games after he was out with a sore knee. Frightening words to hear. For those of you who haven't heard, I talked about this already today. Yesterday. I went on Dokic's show on 1070. Dokic himself was not hosting. He is sick. I think he has the flu. But I was on with Kevin Bowen. It was fantastic. It was fun. We talked about this Victor stuff, right? And I don't remember how the question was framed, but it was basically we were discussing if there is cause for concern with Oladipo and this knee injury. So what I started with and said was, you know, you read the injury report, Victor Oladipo, questionable, sore right knee, that's the one where it happened. Yeah, that alone, you go, whoa, what? You know, that's scary. Oh, no, rest this guy. Yeah, that is concerning, I guess, but, like, I don't think that this him being out necessarily is something that I am concerned about beyond just, you know, okay, they have to be precautious now. Because so Nathan Brown of the Indy Star read this article if you haven't already. He interviewed a doctor, a third-party doctor, before Oladipo came back. And this doctor said, yeah, there's probably going to be a point about a month in or so where, you know, there's some aggravation and some soreness, and I'll have to sit him out for a little bit. And this is that time right now. In the article, it's speculated it could be as much of a week. Now, this is a third-party doctor. Vic's already questionable. But, you know, on Monday, Nate, I think, said at some point during the day, said, yeah, everybody's good to go. And then Vic's just suddenly out. So the soreness can just pop up. Maybe it can just go away, too. I don't know if he's going to play or not. But I don't know if it's going to be a week. I'm just reiterating what I remember reading in that article. But anyway, if he even says, hey, I slept weird on my knee, right? Corbeil and the Pacers training staff are going to say, nope, you're not playing. You know, like, they're going to be that abundance of caution. And I don't know what soreness entails for him. It sounds like he went through some practice stuff yesterday, per a bunch, some of the beat reporters. But nothing about it, like that's all it could be. It's just like, oh, I'm a little sore in my knee. And they're going to be like, okay, yeah, you're out. Like he could play and it would be no problem. We don't know the optics of this, but obviously it looks a lot worse than it is. And they have to hold him out, right? There's no way they can risk what happened last year where he played with some knee in pain, and ultimately this happened, and I don't know how related what happened and him playing through the knee pain. No, I'm not a doctor, but it seems like it would be a little related. So just they're using an abundance of caution. That's the phrase I used on with Bowen, and I think that makes a ton of sense. That's kind of how they have to handle this, right? And then he's getting better, right? We saw in the Cavs game 19 points, and he had the throttle turned down, which is great. You know, him and Aaron Holiday both are figuring out exactly how they should be playing with what units, and that's all fantastic, and he's getting better. But they're still close to, as at this point in time at least, close to as good without him. It's not like the end of the world to have him rest and make sure he's not having this sore knee. And I'm all about the caution. I think that's absolutely the way to go. Like, and especially against the Bucks, right? They beat the Spurs. They're going to lose the Bucks anyway. I honestly might just consider sitting him in Milwaukee. Just no point of having him get hurt in a game that they have no chance of winning anyway. If he's fully good to go, go for it. Let him catch up to speed a little more. They can use all the reps with him they can get. But I mean, I'm all about the caution at this point in time. So it's just going to be hard to see that on the injury report and not go, you know, sound the alarm, change this, change that. Oh my gosh, did they rush him back? Are they pushing him too hard? Blah, blah, blah. And I don't know enough medical stuff to have the intricate answers to those questions, but I do know that players coming back from long-term injuries can often have this kind of stuff pop up where they're like, yeah, I haven't used this body part this heavily in literally a year. It makes sense that it's sore, and I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I just think, I mean, it can be. It could be a bad thing, and it can lead to a bad thing, which is why I'm glad they're sitting him out, but I don't think it alone is necessarily a bad thing. So it's frightening to read, and me saying don't freak out about seeing that doesn't mean anything, because I mean, I'm a human being too. You're like, oh no, the guy who's been out for a year has this knee injury. That sucks. That's scary. But I don't think it's, like, with more nuance, I don't think it should be instilling the fear of the masses just because of all the factors at play here. But that's, you know, this is a shorter segment. I just think that he's going to miss some time, right? We've seen with the, like, in general, we've seen with the floaters, he doesn't land on the same, he lands on the same leg every time, excuse me, which is banged up his ankle a little bit, and his back's been hurting. I don't know that that's related to him possibly favoring his body in some way or another, but maybe it is. It's just going to be how the season is for Vic, and I think that's fine. I think that we maybe were too naive to say he only won't play back-to-backs. He'll sit out a few more games here and there. And I know we mentioned that offhand, but we never really thought about what that could entail. And this is kind of it. Anytime he's a little sore, has a little bang-up, he's going to sit out. And I think that makes the most sense, both in the short term and long term, so they can have him out there as much as possible at full strength to catch back up to where he used to be. And, of course, long term to avoid any sort of re-injury. So, yeah, it sucks. It sucks that isn't playing, that we don't get to watch the guy. And it sucks that, of course, he's going through a huge injury and the recovery from that. But for the Pacers, I think it is absolutely the best to rest him and use the abundance of caution here. So that's all for today's show. Try to enjoy as much of the game as you can tonight. Hopefully the Pacers can keep it interesting. Adam, I think, will be back to break it all down tomorrow. I'm not sure how much healthier he is, but we'll see. But that is all we got for today's Locked On Pacers podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.